Our scripture lesson today is Hebrews chapter 12, the first 15 verses, Hebrews chapter 12. Look it up, find it, get on the page. When you find it, look up, and I'll start talking about something different. You know, this was this book here talks about making coffee, right? Moses used it, Hebrews it. I've worn that joke out, haven't I? Hebrews chapter 12, the first 15 verses. For the sermon, you are, you can, you will. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 verses. You're looking in the, if you're looking in the beginning of the book, take your thumb, hook it in about 3/4 of the book, flip it open. Hebrews is just prior to Revelations. It's trying to help. Somebody said, y'all put the page numbers down. I'm not going to do that. You know why? Because it forces you to look through the Bible and learn it.
You said right before Revelation.
It is. I didn't say how far before it. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and our lives? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for good that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Whew. I love reading that scripture. It hurts. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for discipline. Thank you for disciplining us that we may settle down and listen to this message. Let its ramblings in my head be congealed and make sense, Father. Let us grow from it. Let us each hear it, because it is written for each of us by you, the author. Let us be strengthened from it and go from here learning, growing, walking ever closer with you. Through Jesus Christ we pray. And all of his children said, amen. Let me borrow your readers. They're not girly, are they?
We have a little bit of
warm. Well, that's all right. Nobody can see that from up here. I need a prop.
What do you need?
I need a prop. Further down, because I can't look through readers. not bragging, my eyes are still too good if I try to look through them things. Turning once again, and this time more generally, to the question of invasion. I would observe that there has never been a period in all of the long centuries for which we boast an absolute guarantee against invasion. Still less serious raids could have been given to our people. In the days of Napoleon, the same wind given to our people would have carried his transports across the channel and have driven away the blockading fleet. There was always the chance, and in that chance which has excited many and befooled the imaginations of many continental tyrants, many are the tales are told. We are assured that the novel methods will be adopted. And when we see the originality of malice, the ingenuity of aggression for which our enemy displays, we may certainly prepare ourselves for every kind of novel stratagem and every kind of brutal, treacherous maneuver. I think there is no idea is so outlandish that it should not be considered and viewed without searching. But at the same time, I hope, with a steady eye, we must never forget the solid assurances of sea power and those which belong to the air power, if it can be so locally exercised. I have myself full confidence that if all do their duty, and nothing is to be neglected, and if the best arrangements are made, and they are being made, we must prove ourselves once again able to defend our island home, to ride out the storm, to outlive the menace of tyranny, if necessary for years, if necessary alone, at any rate, that is what we are going to try to do. That is the resolve of His Majesty's government, every man of them. That is the will of the Parliament and the nation. The British Empire and the French Republic are linked together in their cause and in their need, and will defend to the death their native soil, aiding each other like good comrades to the utmost of strength. Even though large tracts of Europe and many old and famous states have fallen or may fall into the grip of the Gestapo and the odious apparatus of Nazi rule, we shall not flag or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and the oceans. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight in the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields. We shall fight in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We will never surrender. And even if large part, even if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part is to be subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to rescue and the liberation of the old. I beseech you, members of the House. At which point they went absolutely insane. And on June the 4th, 1940, the tide turned. See, Winston Churchill had just given this speech after Dunkirk. And for those of you who don't understand Dunkirk, they had gotten trapped by the channel, by the English Channel. They had gotten trapped across there and they couldn't get back because every boat that tried to haul them out, the Gestapo, the Luftwaffe, the SS, Hitler's armed guard, flew down and destroyed them. 400,000 fighting men of the British might were trapped on the little town of Dunkirk on the beach. And they wanted to not rescue them. Winston Churchill, who had just became prime minister, said, no, we will. And he ordered that every available boat, that every Englishman that held a boat, go across the English Channel, holding fast and staying supreme in their drive, and rescue those soldiers. The outcome was to be 25,000 men. Then the estimate was 38. Instead, 336,000 men came back across that channel, and the English went on to fight the might of Hitler's army and win the war. Imagine what it would have been like if they'd have said, we couldn't, we aren't, we won't. Winston Churchill said to them, you are, you can, and you will. The English Channel, I got to tell you about the English Channel. It's something that fascinates me. I've actually seen it from the air. And the English Channel is what had kept the island of England from being occupied for 10,000 years, if you study that sort of thing. They couldn't cross it because the channel runs in two directions. It has different currents that are crazy. At some points, the channel is only 35 feet deep. At other points, it's 350 feet deep. At its narrowest point, it is 27 miles wide. And that's the point at which they launched to go to Dunkirk to get them. What's 27 miles? Roughly from here to my house. We're 22 miles. It takes perseverance to get across it. When ships talk about crossing the channel, they have to prepare themselves at the midpoint for the change in the shift of current. But yet they can, they are, they will get across there. Because it is a major vital part of life in that region. Shipping goes across there all the time. Florence, born in California, wanted to be a swimmer. That's all she wanted to do. She wanted to swim. She wanted to go. She wanted to swim. She was going to be a great speed swimmer. And at the age of 6, she allowed her parents to let her enter in a 50-yard race. And she came in, yeah, dead last. She practiced every day for a year. Every day, swimming and swimming and swimming and swimming. Again, when she entered the 50-yard race, this time she came in last. When she was 11 years old, she won attention and praise for completing the San Diego Bay Endurance Swim, 6 miles of swimming. But she wanted to be a speed swimmer, so at age 14, she tried for the National Backstroke Championship, and she came in second to the great Eleanor Holmes. At 18, she tried out for the Olympics, came in fourth, and only 3 made the team. Frustrated, she gave up. She quit. She quit. She got married. She moved on to other interests. But as she matured, she began to wonder, do I still have anything left? Am I still able? So she started swimming again. With the help of her father, she began going distances. 12 years after she failed to make the Olympic team, Florence Chadwick was struck with an idea. She wanted to try swimming the English Channel. Now, people have done that. People have swam across it in a variety of forms. Side stroke, breaststroke, backstroke, butterfly, freestyle. All these different ways of swimming. I only know 2 ways of swimming. Float or drown. Now, actually, I do know how to swim. And on a side story, I am married to a woman who comes from the water, and her father had a boat. I love telling this story because it makes her mad and it makes me laugh. So everybody focus on her. And when we were first married, they would go out on the boat and I wouldn't go. I was always busy doing this, that, or the other. And the speculation began to become, Paul doesn't know how to swim. Now, I know how to swim. Here's my scout badge. See, Barrett badge. I know how to swim. You don't know how to swim. That's why you won't go out on the boat. You won't, I know how to swim. No, you don't. Yeah, you do. No, you don't. Blah, 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 blah. I never went out on the boat because I don't like boats. That's the truth. You know, unless they're big old steamships and then I'm interested. I'll go down where the boiler is. And so right after they were born, we went to the beach. And when we got to the beach and everything got set up, they had a great big Olympic swimming pool here at the hotel. And I said, all right, got my swim trunks on, got my glasses. Come here. And I walked her to the edge of the pool. I said, stand right here. And I did a textbook dive off, under, swam the entire length under of that swimming pool, came up, got air, did the flippy, swam back, swam up, climbed up the steps and said, what do you think about that? And she said, you're an idiot, and walked away from me. How am I an idiot? I don't think it. But Florence wanted to try this. And so she did. And in 1952, Florence Chadwick swam the English Channel from France to England. I'm sorry, in 1950, in 13 hours and 20 minutes, breaking the then current world's record held by American swimmer Gertrude Erdl. 1 year later, Chadwick went back to the English Channel and swam from England to France in 16 hours and 22 minutes. She was the first woman to swim it both ways and set a record. She ultimately swam the channel 4 times, breaking her record each time. When interviewed, why? Florence said, because of this. Oops. The wrong one. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the street. We shall fight in the hills. We will never surrender, even if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it were subjugated and starving. Those words. You can, you are, you will. Our scripture lesson today is one of the most powerful moments in Hebrews ever written. Now, a lot of people have heard that thing, oh, you'll run the race with perseverance. But you don't read the whole scripture. You have to read the backside of it. You have to back up into verse 11. And understand what's going on. The writer of Hebrews. I am a great fan of not getting into any kind of confrontations. I don't like to be confrontational. I don't like to debate. Oh, I love it. And there's a great debate that has been read. I've read a couple books on it. I've studied in class on it. As to who wrote Hebrews. All right. I love you. You're my family. I'm going to let you in on a little secret about the writer of Hebrews. Are you ready? Everybody say yes.
Yes.
Yes. My goodness gracious. I need a whole congregation of me's out there in the pew. Then when I go say yes, they about back me off this chair. Say yes.
Yes.
All right, here it is. You ready? Who cares? Nobody cares. This is what I've come to in studying. The writer of Hebrews could have been Paul. It could have been Apollos. It could have been Priscilla and Aquila writing together. It's an excerpt from one of his letters. Who knows and who cares? It came about because someone was moved enough to understand who they were in the Lord to write the letter of Hebrews. And it was powerful enough that when they were being supernaturally guided, the Council of Nicene put that in the Bible. And we get Hebrews 12, which is summing things up. Yeah, there's a couple more chapters to go. But in that moment, when he says, therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything off that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You can, you are, you can, you will. The writer is giving us something to understand. Well, what's he saying, Paul? Somebody say that.
What's he saying, Paul?
Well, you guys are getting better. Of course, by next Sunday, you'll be slacking off again. You are the creation of God Almighty. You are the purchase of blood of Jesus Christ. You are given the keys to heaven. You are saved forevermore because you have pronounced the name of Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. You are. You can. Go back into that again. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy... I'm going to stop there for a moment. Nobody listens to that moment in that scripture. Who for the joy set before him. Okay. Anybody in here ever hurt themselves? Say amen.
Amen.
Anybody ever done it intentionally?
No.
Amen.
Amen.
Man, you guys better be saying amen. Because men are stupid when they get tools in their hands. I don't care who you think you are. You know full good and well that when you put something where it ain't supposed to be, you take a chance every time of getting yourself in trouble. Say amen, men.
Amen.
Yeah. I do it. A lot. I know it's going to hurt.
Yesterday.
But is that a... Yeah, yesterday. Is that a joy? No. But the Bible says, the writer of Hebrews says, but for the joy set before him, Jesus Christ knew he had to step onto that tree. Knew it. Knew it from the beginning of time. Knew what it meant. Knew the pain. Knew the aggravation. And knew, the Hebrew writer says, knew the joy. You can accept the struggles and hardships before you because of that. Who for the joy set before him endured the hardships. Endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who can? You can. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Wow. So who will? That's the part that changes it. Yes, we know we can. Yes, we are able to. Yes, we have got all that. But then who will? Who will endure what? William Batten wrote these words. When I hear my friends say they hope their children don't have to experience the hardships they went through, I don't agree. Those hardships made us what we are. You can be disadvantaged in many ways, and one way may not be made half the struggle. You will struggle. You will face hardship. You will be lost at times. You will. See, you are the child of God. You can endure, and so because of that, you will. You will get discipline. Hebrew writer says these words. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. And he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone goes under discipline, then you are illegitimate children. I got disciplined a lot. That must mean my parents really loved me. And I never deserved it. When I was asleep. We're going to struggle. We're going to look at things and be ready to give up. And yet, as they were facing a very perilous moment, I have studied in depth World War II, and especially the Battle for Britain, because it was an overwhelming force. The British RAF, the Royal Air Force, was not ready. They barely knew how to fly. They had come out of World War I ahead of the game learning from the French how to fly airplanes and thought they had it all figured out. And when war broke out, they couldn't fly. Yet the Luftwaffe, the SS, the Sturmgewehrten, oh, they knew how to fly. They would take those Messerschmitts, those ME-109s, with screaming wide over 12-cylinder turbo-powered turboprop. Golly, I love seeing them things. And they would fly them things 100 feet off the ground. They were crazy deadly. And the British was losing heart because the enforce was in Dunkirk and stuck. And when they engineered it, British evacuation, Churchill said, "We will never surrender. You will never surrender." Your grandmother called me this week, and she said something that has broke my heart. So I need to be crystal clear with you. And this goes for everybody in the room. You can stand up, look around at it. I'm speaking for everybody. If anybody disagrees with me, I'll smack them. You will not fail. You understand me? You are. You can. You will. You are children of the Most High God. You are saved by Jesus Christ. You will never, ever, ever fail. You understand me? I don't care even this much if you go up there and you don't have the baseball career you want. That's not what it's about, Cody. It has nothing to do with that. That's the catalyst. That's what gets you there. How the British might was able to overcome Hitler and his nation, how they were able to look into Scripture and see what God's plan was the fact that something had to bring them to that point. You've been brought to that point. You will never, 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 never let us down. You won't. Even when you think you do, and even when you might, you haven't. Because nobody who loves and reaches for the Lord and Jesus Christ ever fails. Ever. See, you are His. You can succeed. You will never, ever fail. Where you're going when you leave here, because we know next week you're gone, where you're going is going to change your perspective. The writer of Hebrews says in his scripture, do not let yourself be defiled. Do not allow yourself to defile and take bitter root. In a manner of speaking. What he's saying, Toddy, is stay true to the cross. You're going to see things, you're going to change, and you're going to start to wonder. Florence Chadwick wondered when she gave up, but she couldn't quit. She gave up, she didn't quit. And that's us, brothers and sisters. When things are beating on us as hard as they possibly can, our resolve is, we are, we can, we will. This is a stop on the way to heaven. Sometimes it will be ridiculously hard. Sometimes we will throw our hands up and we will wonder. Sometimes we will hurt beyond what we can possibly imagine. But we are still His children. We still have the ability to endure. We still are able to throw off that which entangles us and run the race. And we will be forever successful, loved, and carried into the kingdom. No matter what happens. Do you think I wanted to go through what I went to get here? No. I wanted to live life as a happy idiot. Now I'm just an idiot. Well, I'm mostly happy. Nobody wants to. And he fell on his knees and he prayed, Lord, take this cup from me, but your will, not mine. Jesus Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, hours before he would be handed over and beaten to a raw nerve and die, so that the purchase would be paid and we would live forever by just simply saying, I accept you into my heart and I want the old me to go away. Hi. Faith. You can't fail. And I'm not saying you can't fail because it would be wrong. I'm saying you can't fail because in everything else, you have Jesus Christ. Everything. That goes for y'all too. That goes for all you all too. These are the lessons and the reminders. When I heard that, well, I knew that it was to be a reminder for Paul Leatherman as well as everybody else out here. You cannot fail. You cannot fall behind. You know why? Because you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. Clarence Jordan was a man of unusual abilities and commitment. He had two PhDs in agriculture, one in Greek and one in Hebrew. So gifted, he could have done anything he wanted. But in the 1940s, he founded a farm in Americus, Georgia, and called it, I can't pronounce it, Kioni Farm. It was a community for poor whites and poor black people to come together, not be segregated, and live as brother and sister. Of course, you know, in the Deep South in the 40s, this ain't going to go over well. And the resistance came from good church people who followed the laws of segregation. They tried to stop him. They boycotted him. They slashed workers' tires when they came to town. For 14 years, they tried. Finally, in 1954, the Ku Klux Klan gathered up, went out to the farm, and burned it to the ground. Burned it! Saved his home and shot that full of bullets. Chased off all the families except for one black family, which refused to live. Clarence knew the voices of the Klansmen, and as you might guess, some of them were church people. The local news reporter came out to see what remained of the farm. The rubble was still smoldering, the land was still scorched, but he found Clarence in the field hoeing and planting. I heard the awful news, he called to Clarence. And I came out to do a story on the tragedy of your farm closing. Clarence just kept on hoeing and planting. The reporter kept prodding, kept poking, kept trying to get a rise from this quietly determined man who seemed to be planting instead of packing up his bags. Finally, the newspaper reporter said in a haughty voice, well, Dr. Jordan, you got two of them PhDs, and you've but 14 years into this farm, and there ain't nothing left of it. How successful do you think you've been? Clarence stopped hoeing, turned toward the reporter with penetrating blue eyes, and said quietly but firmly, about as successful as the cross. Sir, I don't think you understand us. What we are about is not success, but faithfulness. We're staying. Good day. That farm still lives today. You are, you can, you will. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as a son. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And if God has the wherewithal to discipline you, he's doing it with love. It's your last Sunday here for a while. When you come back for your visit, don't expect any special treatment. So I'm not into that. It doesn't matter, Toddie. Go get your education. Go get your life. Let everything else find its way. You ain't never going to let me down. Anybody else in here think you're going to get let down? Say amen.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. Father, upon him I ask that you clothe him with everything mighty that heaven has. Ease his conscience. Let him focus on the schoolwork and what he's got to do. Let him feel the presence of his family here for him. Let him know, Father, that he is, he can, and he will. Let him be a beacon to others around him. Let them know Jesus Christ lives within his heart. Watch over him, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I ain't playing around with you. When you come back, I better get a false birth hat. Where's he going?
Garrett.
Well, whatever it is, he's pretty insulted. I don't know. Haven't I told you guys I'm not the smartest? You can, you are, you will. You can because Jesus Christ died for you. You are because you profess the name of Jesus Christ. And you will suffer through, endure, conquer, and be successful over hardship. And one day, you will tread the streets of gold in righteousness, clothed with him forever and ever and ever. Amen?
Amen?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, seeking you in all things. We ask upon the young lives here that are branching out and growing, that you be with them and strengthen them. We ask that as Toddy is going forward from here, that he be strengthened and taken through. We ask that as we who are 50, 60, 80, 100 in this room, be reminded we are still babies in your arms. And we still need you. We are your children. We can profess your faith in ourselves. And we will endure and share with you in glory forever. Strengthen us on this day, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. We will fight. We will never, never, never surrender.